I'd like to start by reading a passage out of 1 John chapter 4 and beginning in verse 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he in you than he who is in the world. I think we need to open up with that understanding. Greater is Christ within us than any force of darkness in the world. And when you know that, there is a solidity inside your spirit because Christ, the rock, Christ, the light of the world, dwells inside you. I'd like to read another passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or things present, or things to come, or powers, or heights, or depth, nor anything created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you that every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Lord, we thank you that every force of darkness must bow its knee and proclaim Christ is Lord. And Lord, you came to actually set us free. You came to bring us out of darkness into your glorious light. And Lord, I thank you that the love of God, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Can life, death, principality, power, can Lucifer, his demons, separate us? No, the scriptures say nothing. No plague, no pestilence, no earthquake, no famine, no sword can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we lift our face up to you from where our help comes from. We lift our hands up in adoration and worship. And we thank you that the darkness must flee. We pray you'd open the windows of heaven, you'd open up the glory realm and let the light of your presence shine upon people tonight. That fear would go, darkness would flee, and that you would fill us to overflowing with your love and presence. That, Lord, we would be absolutely rooted and grounded in love. We'd know the height, the depth, the breadth of that love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week I shared my testimony. Those who missed it, it's up on, I think, podcasts. I've also got it in a small booklet and DVD in the back. If you don't have any money, just take one, and you can copy whatever you find. Jesus said, you freely received, you freely give. So I'm going to try and jump right in from last week, and some of you may remember this. So I'm 1 minute in the presence of the Lord, and then he asked me if I want to return. When I see my mother, and I love her dearly, I realize I must come back and share what I've just seen. I knew she had no idea that as I'm in an ambulance dying before I actually passed away, I'd given my life to Jesus. And I now had eternal life. I was now completely forgiven. And here I am back in my body, waking up to find a doctor basically certified me dead. He's holding a scalpel. And I'm praying for a second miracle because he's telling me I've been dead for 15 to 20 minutes. So I knew 3 minutes, near oxygen to the brain, would mean that if there's no artificial respiratory system going, artificial respiration, the brain would die within 3 minutes. 15 to 20 minutes, if I'd come back, I could potentially be a vegetable, brain dead. And so I lay there and said, God, could you please heal me because I can feel nothing from my neck down. As I lay there, I felt this incredible presence like a low current or power of electricity, like a warmth and presence, like a fire that burnt through me and successive waves of life began to flow into my body. I began to get movement and then eventually I could feel. So God restored back the neurological system right to the tips of my toes. How many know that God can do healing miracles? Well, how many need a healing miracle? How many need that resurrection power that didn't just rise Christ from the dead, but can actually touch your physical body? And I've seen it. One touch from God's presence can actually heal them immediately. Sometimes it's a process, but a miracle is instant. And so I walked out of the hospital and the next day, and as I walked through the window, it was aircon, my Creole fishermen had followed my journey and were standing outside the window. When they saw me, the impression I got from them, you're a dead man coming back to life. And they ran. So when you see the Creole fishermen running from you and they're calling me spirit man or something or other, they're freaking out. I tried to get into a taxi train. A taxi train meant the local guys had a taxi. As many people you could put in it was the same price. Well, no one would come with me. So I paid for the taxi and went back down to Tamarind Bay to my bungalow of a woman from Rose Hill we were renting. And this is actually the small little house. And I had a New Zealand and Australian guy that were actually there. And they were trying to figure out, what the heck happened last night? I was a bit kind of reluctant to say, well, I died, saw heaven and hell, and God's raised me from the dead. You know what I mean? So I kind of tucked that away to myself because I was trying to figure it out. And so I went to sleep that night, and in the middle of, because I was quite tired, in the middle of the night I woke up and my body was trembling and it had like a cold sweat. It's as though deep inside is at peace, but my body was literally terrified of something. So waking up in this kind of shaky, cold, clammy feeling, I rolled over, and in Mauritius, mosquitoes just love me. So I used to sleep under a net. So I looked through my net, and here on the window, it looked like a bunch of men or people were standing at the window gawking at me, having a look. I thought, oh, they've come to look at the dead man or something, you know what I mean? And as I looked, I could see that they weren't physical, they were spiritual beings of darkness that had the likeness of a human being. I could literally see beings of darkness standing at the window. What really troubled me is as I saw this, it kind of spooked me. I thought, what the heck is that? Then I realized as I looked at their eyes, instead of round like a pupil of a human, they were slit-like, like a cat or a crocodile snake. Their eyes were red, their form was dark, and as I looked at them, they looked straight into me, and I heard one of them speak to me. He said, you are ours, and we are coming home. How'd you like to realize that sometimes we've actually given over a fair amount of our life to the forces of darkness? And they have not only cohabited, they have basically taken a great influence in you. Well, I was concerned thinking, how on earth were they in me? And what the heck is going on that I'm seeing a pack of demons outside my window and they're saying, they belong here. And I realized that bars on windows was not going to stop these supernatural beings from coming. I could feel the fear gripping me. And it was almost like they were captivating me with their eyes, and I almost felt like they would enter me. As I'm looking at that, I turn away, grab my diving torch, which I use for night diving, and shine it on the window. And for some bizarre reason, the physical light seemed to disappear, or they seemed to disappear. How many of when you were young and you're scared of the boogeyman used to turn the lights on? Some of you still do, by the looks of it. Well, I'm lying in this bed thinking, my goodness sake, where the flipping heck are those things gone? They're obviously in darkness. Have they, you know, where are they? So I climbed out of the bed and shone my torch around me, but like a Jedi saw before even Star Wars existed. Came up to the light switch, flicked it on, light flooded the room. I walked about 2 feet, my legs began to get weak, and I could feel like I was going to collapse. So before I fell, I actually sat down on the ground, and I came inches away from snapping and going Looney Tunes. Now, I've seen men snap under pressure. It's a very terrifying thing to watch a man snap and lose the plot. And so I literally struggled with my sanity. When you see a pack of demons trying to enter you and saying that they belong to you and they have power over you, I tell you what, that's enough to tip a man off the edge. So I literally grappled with my sanity as I sat on the floor thinking, well, what the heck has happened? I'm not a nutter. If I'm a nutter, then the whole world's insane. I'm reasonably together, you know what I mean? And I had to walk through what would presumably call a normal person. I thought, well, I'm reasonably normal. I'm not that whacked out, you know what I mean? I'm reasonably normal. So as I walked through that, I thought, then what the heck has happened for a whole pack of demons somehow were once in me are now outside of me and are trying to enter me? What the heck's going on here? So God reran my testimony second by second, thought by thought, moment by moment, picture by picture. It literally reran the last 24 hours. People say, how on earth can you remember that testimony? Trust me, I remembered it. I relived it as I sat there on the floor shaking and on the edge of going insane. As I went through it, I realized that the only thing that I did that was my part was the Lord's Prayer. As I'm sitting there on the ground, the Lord speaks to me. I hear his voice again. He said, son, the only thing that saved your life last night was the Lord's Prayer. Pray it again. Okay. Now let's just have a look. How on earth does this biblically line up? Matthew 12, verse 43 to 45 says, now when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, doesn't find it. Then it says, I'll return to my house from where I came. When it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes in and takes along with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself. They go in and live there, and the last state of the man becomes worse. That is the way with this evil generation. So you understand that when you come to Christ, there's a potential, if you actually get real deliverance and true repentance, that the demons will go out. How many know they try and come back? How many know they got your number? Well, what happens when you actually die? Your human spirit, my human spirit, left, went up into the presence of God. So why would the demons hang around my dead body? What they generally do, if someone's praying to the dead, and they think, some people believe that they hang around, the human soul hangs around for few days. Reality is, when the spirit of the man dies, they go. But how many have heard of familiar spirits, ancestral spirits? How many got some stuff that's hanging around? The trouble is that you may think that you're talking to your Rallo. You may think you're contacting through seances and mediums. You may think by going out to the gravesite you're talking to your relatives, and what you're talking to is a familiar spirit that knows a heck of a lot about your family, and in fact knows a ton about that person and can even imitate their voice. I have seen a woman invite that spirit in, say, I'm going to talk to the dead for you, and invite the so-called dead departed spirit in, and out of a woman comes a man's voice. You know what that is? It's a demon. Says, don't consult mediums, clairvoyants, spiritists, witches, don't go near them. Why? Because they're actually not contacting your dead relative. They're contacting a familiar spirit that knows a heck of a lot about your family. And they start off with spirit of the glass, they start off with Ouija boards and move into tarot cards, and then move into full witchcraft. So I'm having the realization that those things were once in me. How do you find that a little bit troubling? Huh. I'm hoping it's only one, and he's gone and picked up seven worse than himself, but I'm hoping they're not all mine. How many of you going, any? How many have done a little bit of evil? How many have done a lot? How many mostly attracted a pack? How many have heard of one guy in the Bible that had 1,000, a legion? I mean, that's seriously tormented, isn't it? He had enough power, he could break chains. So I'm sitting here on the floor figuring out that those things were once in me. Somehow they got out. I'm figuring out when I died, they must have left. You understand? Now they've checked out that I'm alive. How many find that a little bit interesting for them? How many know I find it very interesting for me who doesn't know anything? So I'm sitting on the floor, God saying, pray the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going, I can't remember it. So I'm literally, demons are there, you know what I mean? But for some reason they can't touch me. This is the thing. I didn't understand all this stuff. greater is Christ in me. The powers of darkness knew that I got saved. They knew Christ was in me. They were trying to fear. You know what fear does? It paralyzes a person and tries to get them accept a lie. You know what perfect love does? Casts out all fear. So here I am sitting on the ground saying, God, I can't remember the prayer. Next minute, what comes in front of me? Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The words that came up in front of me, deliver us from evil. Not forgive us our sins, not the Our Father. The first words of light appeared in front of me on the floor. Deliver us from evil. I said, oh my goodness sake, that's in the Lord's Prayer. How many know the Lord's Prayer is a very powerful prayer? So I'm sitting there going, well, God, you deliver me from the pack of demons outside this window that are trying to enter me. Deliver me from them. As I said that, God said, well, okay, now you've prayed, turn the lights out and go to sleep. I said, well, that's easy for you to say. You're up there with all the angels. I'm down here with a pack of demons outside my window. And God didn't say any more. He told me to turn the lights out and go to sleep. I thought, my goodness sake, if I believe that prayer has power, then what I'll do is turn the lights out and go to sleep. So what I did, I got my torchlight, sat on the floor, turned the lights out and waited to see if it worked. Other of these mongrels come back, the light's on. So I sat there for a while, the demons didn't come back. How many know there's power? Who's going to deliver you from evil? There's only one name that's above every name that every demon must obey, and his name is Jesus Christ. How many know Jesus holds the power over death and Hades? He has publicly made a display of Satan and his demons on the cross. He is victorious. They hate his name. So I turned the light, I'm getting cold, so I jumped in the bed and go to sleep. I thought, well, that's an interesting night. I wake up the next morning, go down into the living room. What are the boys doing? Pulling a few bongs and chillums, you know what I mean? Wonderful group of flatmates, you know what I mean? Pull a few cones before they have breakfast. So I'm wandering in here and I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't, they offer me no, I don't want to smoke. I'm not into it. I could feel there's a conviction. How many feel like you need to clean your act up? How many know you don't have to get too much teaching to go, my goodness sake, the home brew goes, the bongs go, the chillums go, and everything else goes. So I'm talking in the kitchen to the Aussie and the Kiwi guy, and I realize that they're having two conversations. What I'm hearing coming out of the Aussie guy's mouth is different from what I can hear in his heart. It's like I can hear what he actually thinks of the Kiwi guy, the Spence that was in the house. This is Noam. Then the Aussie guy turned to me and started talking to me, and I could hear what he thought about me. And I'm standing there looking, going, this guy's speaking, but I can actually hear his heart. I can hear his innermost thoughts. It's as though what's coming out of his heart is speech to me. And I thought, what the heck is that? I didn't like people at the best of times. It's interesting, the Indians in North America said, white man speak with forked tongue, like a serpent. What come out of his mouth ain't what's really coming. And they thought the Indians were naive, stupid children because they asked them a question, they just tell them like a child the truth. So I'm hearing a guy, and I'm thinking, I had a few thoughts, I didn't want to say them, so I just held it in and walked down the hallway back to my room. I said, God, what the heck is going on? He said, Ian, you're seeing people in a new light. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How would you like to actually speak and the only time you open your mouth is actually from your heart and it's truth? I mean, that would shut a few of you up. In fact, God says he hates a lying tongue. He hates one who gossips and spreads slander. This is the thing he hates. Do you imagine if Christians actually started speaking the truth and love from their heart and otherwise shut their mouth? Anyhow. Unfortunately, I still have the gift. Sometimes you don't want it. But do you realize that God sees all of us too and knows how messed up, lying and deceitful we are and still loves us even though we're complete, nasty, horrible little creatures inside? He loved us while we're still sinners. Shock, horror. But do you want to stay a nasty little grumpy mess or do you want to get set free? Then go and get some sozo. There you go. So anyhow, I go to sleep and I'm in the middle of the night and I wake up and my body's shivering like from the night before and I roll my head over thinking, oh, the red glowing eyes at the window. Trouble is I got three or four demons standing literally 2 feet away from me in the bedroom and here's the mosquito net, here are the demons. How'd you find that a little bit troubling? They're actually in the room. So I literally inches away from me and I realize they're trying to get into me, but they can't. Still haven't figured this out, you see. And as I'm looking, I could see their eyes just wanting to take me and kill me and destroy. Do you realize the demons come to rob, steal, and destroy? They hate you. You know why? Because we create an image of God. And whenever the demons who are fallen angels see us, they see sons and daughters of God. And they're so nasty, they'd kill the kids. You imagine you have to be a really sick, twisted mother to go killing children and take them out. Well, this is what these demons do. They want to kill God's children. He wants to butcher, slaughter, rape, maim, abuse children. And then blame it on God and say, how come God didn't protect you? Nothing to do with God. The demon-possessed man that was doing it was absolutely fully out of control. But you can't blame the demon. He has to take responsibility for it. So anyhow, so I am thinking torchlight, grab it, shine it. These things seem to move. Physical life for some reason seems to move. So I'm thinking, my goodness sake, they're in the room. Where the heck? Maybe they've gone under the bed. I have no idea how much power they've got. I have no idea how much power I've got. So I take my torchlight and shine it under the bed. Get out, you mongrels, you know what I mean? Walk to the door where the light is, flicker on, the whole room fills up with light, my whole body shakes again, and I nearly collapse on the ground. God then reruns the entire testimony, whole deal through, and said it was the Lord's Prayer, pray it again. How many know by this stage I'm starting to remember the Lord's Prayer? Not just some meaningless repetition of mumbling it off for mum. I began to get it. Our Father who art in heaven. And so I'm thinking, well, this is pretty heavy. Something in the forces of darkness, something I've seen has obviously stirred the nest of hell up. I'm in their sights and they want me. So I thought, right, all the bongs, all the chillums, all the dope out of the house. Boom, it's my house, clean house. So they went and stashed it out in the rocks outside. Anyhow, out. I don't want any dope in here. They said, do you serve a thing? I think I do. So I went for a surf. Came back, went to sleep. Middle of the night, I have this knock on the window. Here's one of the local Creole girls saying, Ian, I want to see you. Well, I've been chasing this chick for quite a while. She's gorgeous. But she didn't want anything to do with me. So now she's at the window saying she wants to see me. And I'm thinking, my lucky day. Then I realize, nah, I'm praying. I've got demons. I don't really want to deal with a relationship right now. No. So I said, go away. Last thing I need is a woman. And so she pleaded with me. She said, Ian, really want to see you. I've got to talk to you. Just please come to the back door just for a moment and we'll talk. So I thought, okay, I'll talk. Jumped out of bed, went to the back door. And as I opened the door, I swung open. And here was this young girl. And as I looked into her eyes, the demons that had been chasing me for the last two nights were inside. One of the demons was inside her eyes. Her voice changed to a man. She said, you're coming with us tonight. Her fingers were just touching the door. I had enough power to literally should have just slammed that steel door shut, but I couldn't budge it. I couldn't move it. So I'm staring going, well, I see you, dear. Where's the us? And then out of the crack of the door, I could hear something creeping along the edge of the house. You had volcanic rock in Mauritius. And they were coming towards the door. And I'm going, what the heck? God said, well, son, you touch one of the local girls, you either marry her or the brothers will kill you. It's interesting your sin finds you out, doesn't it? So the Lord told me, he said, they're going to grab you, drag you out and kill you, stone you to death. I said, God, help. Next minute, my hand went up and I went, in Jesus' name. Well, Jesus had been a swear word for a long time. As the name of Jesus came out of my mouth and I pointed towards this girl, an invisible fist hit her in the chest, picked her up and threw her through the air onto the ground. What the heck is that? And then the girl, like a serpent, began to literally squirm on the ground, and her body literally launched off the ground like a cobra will do that. They'll throw themselves. And threw herself through the air towards me. I hate horror. How many hate horror movies? Stephen King and all this nutty stuff. Mate, I hate it. I have adventure, romance, horror, hate. So I've got, like, ready on Elm Street. I've got something coming straight at me, mate. And so I'm going, you what? She's on the ground. The door's free. These guys are close to pulling me outside. Slam the steel door and shut the sucker. And as I did, I moved over to the side in case a meat axe. You know what I mean? We're talking enough fear to scare the average man. And I'm standing here trembling going, man, we've got demonized people trying to do me. God showed me, said, son, if you won't turn back to the darkness, and turn back to the dark side, they will kill you. So at this stage, I was terrified. So I secretly, without anyone knowing, told Harry, the local Indian guy who had a taxi down in Tamarind Bay, come at 5 in the morning and pick me up and we'll take the other boys surfing. I told him I'm taking to a secret spot. What I was doing was getting into a plane and flying out of the country. No one knew it. No one. So I was waiting for it. I went to sleep that night at 5 in the morning. I was going to get in a taxi, sneak out of town, jump on a plane and fly home. Get the heck out of here before I got killed. Woke up in the middle of the night to hear this girl knocking on the window again. And I'm thinking, what the heck is this? But let's have a look at this scripture. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is clear, then the whole body was full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body is full of darkness. Then the light that is in you is darkness. How great is the darkness? See, what was in this woman was not only darkness, but demonic presence. She was involved in voodoo and witchcraft. And it had gone past just darkness. This had gone into deep demonic stuff, where a demon had actually now could come and habitate. She was demonized. Not demon-possessed, because I knew her, but she was definitely demonized. So let's just move on. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Well, I didn't know any of this stuff. But guess what? In the name of Jesus, and whose name? The demons have to listen. But you better have Jesus inside you. It's not some magic recipe. If Christ ain't in you, in the book of Acts, they jumped on some boys using the name of Jesus and beat them and nearly killed them. So you can't just use this as a recipe. You actually have to have Christ in you. You need to actually know him. You need to have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need to have repented of your sins and have the Lord's blood covering you. You need Christ in you. It's not some mumbo-jumbo recipe, because the demons know if you really know him. They know if you're falling. They know if you're messed up. They know if you've got a foothold. They know how much darkness is inside you. And yeah, we'll move on. So here's the girl on the ground. And I'm just trying to catch up with my own notes. Here we go. What happened? There was a man in a synagogue, unclean spirit, who cried out saying, what business do I have with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you're the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet, come out of him, throwing him onto the ground with convulsions. The unclean spirit came out with a loud voice, gone. Do you realize that Jesus continually not only healed the sick, proclaimed the good news, but cast demons out? So I wake up in the middle of the night to see the young girl from the night before with the red glowing eyes and manifesting like a snake on the ground, standing at my window again, knocking. I'm thinking, dream on, dear. You, that's it, I ain't coming. And so I ignored her, pretending I was asleep. And then next minute, I saw, to my horror, someone's big arm come in, the window open. I still had steel bars, and rocks started coming through the window, hitting my net. And I was getting more and more fearful as more and more aggressive was coming towards me. And then it went quiet, so I thought, well, maybe they've gone. So I rolled over, and to my horror, a spear was halfway across the room about to stick me and kill me. I said, God, what do I do? He said, best form of defense is attack. I said, what with? He said, your torchlight, your flashlight. I thought, well, they got rid of them the last few nights, so why not? So I grabbed my torchlight, shone it to where the spear was coming from to see three men with red eyes and the girl demonized. And then, and as the light hit their eyes, they screamed. I screamed. I grabbed the spear, and like a crayfish, when you grab a cray, you push it in and then pull it. So I pushed the spear out of his hand, pulled it, and then threw it past his head. I then took the torchlight, realizing that the demons inside them hated even physical light. You ever been in a nightclub where boys are wearing dark glasses? You know they have to be seriously mucked up. You see a man wearing dark glasses at night, you better run. No game. I shone the torch on them. You ever seen dogs try and attack you, and you can stand with a rock, and if you take your eyes off them, they'll go you. So you better steer them down. If there's fear there, they'll go you. But if you back them back, they'll back up. So like a pack of dogs or hyenas, these three men and this demonized people moved back up to, away from me. And I was literally shining the torch at them as they moved away. Do you realize I didn't sleep much that night? It was about 2 a.m. Do you tell your flatmates that you've just been nearly killed by demon-possessed people who've just come out of a... No. So what do? You try and hold your sanity and try and figure this stuff out. It's at 5 a.m, no one came. The Aussie and the Kiwi up with their surfboards saying, where's Harry? Where's the taxi? I said, I don't know. He's never late. Run down the village and find out. Ran down the village. Spence came back. He said, mate, you won't believe it, but there's a real turmoil in the village. Someone's stuck in steel rebar rods through Harry's radiator. And they've stuffed his car. And no one knows who it is because he's got no enemies. What the heck? And I'm thinking, well, that's transport, the only transport out of town. So I said to them, they said, well, we might as well go surfing here. I said, no. Up in Cutrabon. Raj, good mate of mine, Indian guy up in Cutrabon, mate. He's got a taxi train. We've used him before. You take the bus up to Cutrabon, and this is the guy. Here's his car. Bring him down. Give him $100 US. It'll buy his car for him. You know what I mean? Bribe him. I don't care what you do, but get him. Well, Raj turns up. Spence runs in. He said, well, there's a pack of Creole guys out there with sticks and rocks, and they're furious. They're kicking off. Raj said he doesn't want the $100. He wants to go home. He doesn't want to take us. I said, well, why are you talking to me about that? Run out there. If you're going to rip him out of the seat, mate, take his keys. I don't care. We have to get out of town. At this stage, the Australian New Zealand guys said, what the heck are you up to, son? Is this a drug deal gone bad? What are you on? Why are they trying to kill you? I said, yeah, mate. He said, have they got guns? I said, I don't know. He said, what are you doing? I didn't say I'm actually become a Christian. I've got a pack of demons inside them trying to kill me. Doesn't exactly kind of ring true. One of them was a Bass Strait oil rigger called Gnome, and the other guy was an ex-SAS soldier from New Zealand Army. So these boys all also understood how to be in a rumble. So one of them went out and stood over Raj, and the other guy said, what can I do? I said, I don't want to go out until they've got the boards on, our backpacks, and loaded up. Then come and get me. So as they got me and I went up to the car, the Creoles with knives and with sticks and rocks started charging me. And Noam, the Bass Strait oil rigger from Phillip Island, said, get in the car. And he ran like a little nugget, got a beard, looks like a gnome, ran at them and bluffed them. These guys backed off as this kind of Aussie nutter was running at them. Looked out of Lord of the Rings, this guy. Anyhow, old Gnome ran back. These guys realized he had bluffed it and jumped on the other side. I felt like I had two angels next to me. I ducked my head in case something went through the back of the window, and off we went. Now, my heart's palpitated. We're talking the family McCormick and all military or farming and stuff. The actual emblem means no fear. The actual coat of arms means no fear. It's interesting. They were charioteers. Fear is just not in there. If you had any fear, they'd beat it out of you anyhow. So Some of you can relate to that, obviously not. So here I am. I am in a taxi. I end up at the airport, and I'm almost kissing this guy. Mate, thank you. You know what I mean? Drops in the airport. The Aussie and Kiwi guy had no idea what was going on. Tell him I'm flying out of the country. God bless him. See you later. And at that moment, the Argentinian war broke out in the Falklands. I thought, wonderful, here we go, jump on a plane, fly home, get an M16, and it's World War III. So anyhow, I flew out. As I'm flying out of Limon, flying out, looking over it, where I'd been diving and died, I'm thinking, thank God for that. Flew into Perth. As we arrived up into Perth, my brother, who is ex-military out of Wairuru, he met me at the airport. He said, God, you look like you've been on heroin, son. Look how skinny you are. I didn't realize that the poison was literally eating my flesh off, and I was quite gaunt and, of course, quite terrified. I looked quite rattled. He said, what's going on? I said, mate, it looks like I've died or something. He said, what? You better come down and have a beer at Fremantle. You do drink, don't you? I said, well, I think so. So I went down and had a few beers with him, tried to tell him about God, and he just said, that's nuts, mate. You've smoked too much dope. So anyhow, he put me in his mate's bedroom and said, you can sleep here. He's up in Nepal. And he said, you can stay there the night and she'll be fine. We'll have breakfast in the morning. So anyhow, I woke up in the middle of the night to find white-eyed demons in the room attacking me. I thought, you mongrels, did you get on the plane with me from Mauritius and follow me? What the heck are you doing? I'm back in God's own country. I'm back in the land of Oz from the men down under. What the heck are you doing following me from Mauritius? I had no idea that every local crew had enough of their own demons locally. They didn't have to import any. They were already there. So I then was quite upset. So I turned the lights on, stormed around the room, and thought, I'm going to tell this thing where to go and then pray the Lord's Prayer. As I'm walking around, here in the fireplace is a little Buddha, rose petals and joss sticks. As I'm looking at it, the Lord audibly speaks to me and said, the white-eyed demons have come out of this idol. He didn't even call it a Buddha, he called it an idol. Well, I didn't have understanding that's what the Bible teaches. It says in Psalm 106, they serve their idols which became snares, and they sacrifice their sons and daughters to demons. They shed their blood, they sacrifice them to what? Idols. So God associated idols with demons, that the demons were in the stones made by human hands. Now, I'd noticed that when I was around Sri Lanka. I'd noticed that when I was in Bali. I felt as though some of these things were looking at me. I could feel like Ganesh, Vishnu, Kalima, Sahi Baba. I could feel stuff looking at me. I couldn't figure out what it was. Now, for the first time, I figured out what was inside these idols were actually spiritual beings called demons. How many know that would sort out the religions quite quickly? How many demons have you got on your idols? What do you bow down to? What do you pray to? That's why God said, there's no graven image. You're not supposed to make one. You're not to bow down. He has created heaven and earth. You should not bow down in the Ten Commandments to any graven image or idol. Why? Because what will happen is there's a spiritual being inside. It's called a demon. So I prayed, bound the demon, and went to sleep. At that point, I thought, right, I'm going to fly down to Melbourne. I flew down to Melbourne. Saw my mate, went surfing. He tried to give me some hash and his pipe. I said, no, mate. He said, what's happened to you? I said, look, I'm not sure, but I think I might be praying here all the time. He said, do you surf? I think I do. So I surfed. He said, you're weird, man. You're not even taking dope. You're not getting drunk. And you don't even like surfing anymore. I said, well, I'm flying up to Sydney to see my girlfriend before I go home for my brother's wedding. So I flew up to Narrabeen. My girlfriend picked me up at the airport and said, you want to go down to the nightclub at Narrabeen, Midnight Oil's plane? I said, yeah, mate, I want to go and have a listen. So I went into the bar, got my beer, turned around, and as I looked to see where the band was playing, thousands of demons packed all around the band, all over the place. It's like I'd walked into a nest of them. They looked at me because I could see them. I looked at them and thought, what the heck? So I put my beer down, which I've only ever done once when I walked into the Gresham Bar in Christchurch by mistake. It was a gay bar. And I walked out. So I got a pack of demons looking at me. I'm checking them out. They're checking me. And I thought, stuff it. I'm out of here. Then my girlfriend said, well, do you want to have sex? I said, no, I'm not sure about that. I think I'll sleep on the couch. She said, you haven't gone gay on me. I said, no, I'm not gay, but I'm praying. She looked at me. She said, you're okay. I said, I'm going home. Can I borrow your phone? Ring my mum and dad. I'm coming home tomorrow. Changed my flight. I'm going right now. Jumped in the plane and flew home. Now, what happens is the Bible says an interesting thing. We don't fight against people, flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness. Then I began to realize that these things once must have had bodies. How many have heard that the demons once had angelic bodies? Some of you are not sure. You're trying to figure out where they came from. Depends where your theology rests. Well, the scriptures say that a third of the angels fell. How many have heard of that one? How many heard that Lucifer once walked around the throne of God and also was judged and fallen? How did God deal to him? Ezekiel 28:18, it says, you profaned your sanctuaries, therefore I brought fire from the midst of you and consumed you and turned you to ash. What did God do? God, who is an all-consuming fire. How many heard that God's an all-consuming fire? There's the blood of Jesus, there's the name of Christ, there's the power and prayer, but there's also the fire. Moses heard God out of a burning bush. He said, you're standing on holy ground. When God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone came down. Jesus' eyes are a flame of fire. Do you realize the demons know what this fire is all about? Lucifer himself and a third of the angels were consumed. Their angelic bodies were burnt up to ash. So they are no longer carrying an angelic body. Do you realize that two-thirds of the angels still have bodies? We can entertain them unannounced. They can actually have meals with us. Guardian angels, warrior angels. These angels can take on the form and almost look like human. I know some of you might be out there thinking you might be an angel in disguise, but I haven't seen you just yet. I've been looking. But there are actual angels that are angelic beings that literally take the form and look very similar to humans. They don't have wings. They look like human beings. What happened, of course, God, what does he do? He consumed their beauty because of their beauty and their arrogance and their form. It was consumed. But what was left once the body was consumed? Their spiritual being. You understand that? It's a spiritual being that has no form, but has a spiritual form. So what I was seeing outside my window were fallen angels. Do you understand that? Who are looking for a host. How do we know they're looking for a body? They'll go into animals, they'll go into people, they'll go into an idol. They're looking for something. And if they can get control and power of that person, they can kill, rape, murder, and destroy. How many know we're supposed to have the Holy Spirit, not an evil spirit, not a murderous spirit, not an unclean spirit, not a demon? There's only one spirit that's holy, and there's the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. So we're not supposed to have a spirit guide of some animal or some demon or some eagle. We're supposed to have the person who created heaven and earth, who created us in his image. We're spiritual beings, and he sent his Holy Spirit to help us become holy and sanctify and change us from glory to glory, because the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son, and the Holy Spirit is all-consuming. And on the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire. Imagine if the demons actually checked you out if you got baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. Do you think you might be some kind of a threat? Because you're carrying the fire of heaven. John said, I baptize you with water, but he who comes after me will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. So the fire is actually refining fire, purifying fire. Christians are not to be afraid of it. You could be chucked into a furnace. Fire won't harm them. The only thing that hates the fire are the powers of darkness. They hate it. And they can tell whether you've got the fire. They can tell whether you're just mumbling on about it. Anyhow, that was all free, you see. So I'm on the plane, Qantas. Listen to my Walkman, Men at Work. I'm thinking, what the heck have I become? I'm going home. Mum and Dad are going to ask me what the heck's happened. And I'm going, I don't know. I'm praying. I'm not sleeping with chicks. I'm not taking drugs. And I'm not even wanting to surf. I'm messed up, mate. I wouldn't even go to nightclubs. We're talking something's gone wrong here. No one will recognize me. I don't even know who you are. What the heck are you? In the midst of listening to Men at Work, the Lord speaks to me and said, you are a reborn Christian. He didn't say born again. He said, you are a reborn Christian. I took my headphones off and my Walkman, looked around. No, there was no one there. Had to be God. Put my dark glasses on and freaked out. I thought, I've never heard of this thing. Well, reborn. What does the Bible say? If you want to see the kingdom of heaven, who wants to see the kingdom of heaven? You must be born again. How did I get born again? Repenting of my sins, asking Jesus to forgive me, forgiving others, and giving my life to the Lordship of Christ in an ambulance. The Lord's Prayer, I got saved through the Lord's Prayer. So I was born again in an ambulance. I didn't know what it meant. I knew that God had come in. I knew that he'd forgiven me. And I knew that the power inside me was stronger than what was out there. But if I open up the door and let evil back in, I'm going to be a sick puppy. And I've met some of them, backslidden Christians who've been spirit-filled. But I tell you what, the boys down at the bar, they said, oh, we've got one of your guys. He used to be one of those born-again, Holy Ghost, shut up, my boy, boys. And look at him now. He's a flippin' sicko. And he's what? Six or seven worse demons inside him. I said, that's dead right. He's just like a dog going back to his vomit, like a pig wallowing in the mud. It's exactly what happens when you turn away, because the demons say, right, we had you once, now we're going to flip and do you. It's no game. This is real life death. You're going to mess around with sin, you're going to get seriously hurt. And you'll hurt other people. So I'm going, what's this thing, born again? I come into the airport. My mum and dad are there and a girlfriend and another one. There's a few floating around in those days. Stop fishing in a lot of ponds. Cut the lines and just concentrate on God first. Get the first love. And then if you're going to stick with one, sort that one out. Don't go flipping fishing around with everything that's out there. That's what the world does, you mongrels. Leave those poor girls alone, and girls, stop fishing and playing the boys. You go looking for Christ, you'll get him. You go looking for a man, you'll get one, but you may not get the right one. You want a man of God. You want a woman of God. You don't want someone who's just playing around. So I'm going, born again, what this? I'm born again. I don't know what it is. So I came in and they should have strip searched me and they x-rayed my surfboard looking for drugs. I didn't blame them, I would have. I'll back up. So I go, I'm driving down the motorway. My dad's in the front, my mum's here and my girlfriend's here. And Dad said, what's the most amazing that happened to you while you're away overseas here? You've been away for 2 years. There must be something quite incredible. Tell us at least one of the stories. I said, well, Dad, it's hard to explain, but I died, came back to life, I've seen God, and I'm a reborn Christian. I said, why did I say all that? My girlfriend had become a born-again Christian in the Hamilton AOG 2 months before. She thought I'd heard and was mocking me out and making a flippin' mockery of her. My mother didn't even know what born again was because she was an Anglican. She didn't have a clue what that one meant. And my father had a rebirth through the Freemasonry Lodge and was actually manifesting demonically. As I said, I'm a born again Christian. My dad's eyes, have just turned, shock, horror, have just turned red. How'd you like to have your father? You haven't seen him for 2 years, and your father actually starts to get demonized right in front of you. His arms begin to strike, and I think he's going to break the steering wheel. He's shuddering to control the anger and the rage that's inside him, because in the Freemasonry Lodge, they hoodwink them, feign death, stick them in a coffin, and bring them back to life and rebirth them in the Masonic Lodge. It's a demonic rebirth. You got anything to do with the lodge, get the heck out of it. It's full of demons. It's free too. So here I am, my dad's manifesting, I've just come back, my mum's quiet, she can't believe that I'm a Christian, my girlfriend thinks I'm mocking her out, and my dad is basically manifesting demonically. Isn't that wonderful? Welcome home. Can you get away from it? How would you like to have your own family? How many know Christmas is coming up? The in-laws and the outlaws are going to be there, aren't they? How many know you could be a target? Anyhow, so I'm sitting there in the car. That killed conversation for the whole way home. So I haven't lived at home since I don't know how many years, but my mother kept my bedroom like a time warp, like the TARDIS. Scary. Went into the room, went to sleep, woke up in the middle of the night, and guess what was in the room? one of these fellas again. I tell you what, at this point, in my own house, in my own room, how many know you can get a little bit upset? So I let rip. And I started saying non-Christian words, just a few of them, and started then rebuking it with the name of Jesus in the prayer. Unfortunately, the door was open to the master bedroom, and I was right across the hallway from it to my father's bedroom. I hear this voice, "What the heck are you, you madman? What are you yelling and screaming like a lunatic? I said, "That's fine, Dad. Sorry. Bad dream. So I literally sat down in the room and said, "God, I'm sick of these demons. How the heck do you get rid of them?" He said, "Read a Bible." I said, "Oh, next you'll be asking me to go to church." "I haven't got a Bible." He said, "Your daddy's got one." I said, "What, my father?" He said, "Go and ask him for one." I said, "You must be joking. I'd crawl on broken glass before I go there." Anyhow, I realized Dad was the only one in the house that might have one. So anyhow, I walked through. He was wide awake reading his Reader's Digest, propped up. Mum had slept through an earthquake. She didn't even know what was going on. And I stand at the end of the bed, and my dad said, "What can I do for you, son?" I said, "Well, Dad, sorry about yelling and screaming over there, but I need to ask you a favor." He said, "What might that be?" I said, "Could I have your Bible to read?" Well, he went like a deer in headlights. His face went white. He then shook Mum. Mother, wake up. Mother wakes up. "What the heck? Your son," it's no longer my son, "your son wants a Bible. You're the religious one. Give him a Bible." And Dad said, "Which one do you want? Your mother's got the New Testament. I've got the Old Testament. What do you want?" I said, "Well, where did it all begin?" He said, "Mine." So he goes over into his Masonic briefcase and pulls out his Bible. Torn in half, of course. So I open the Bible up. I'm thinking, well, never had one of these. Never been given one. Never read one. Genesis, I thought, well, that's a pretty out there word. Genesis was a band, you know. Anyhow, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And I thought, well, that's a pretty big statement. He didn't put much detail. He just created heaven and earth. I suppose if he's God, he can do it. The earth was formless and void in darkness. I said, I've seen that darkness. It's demonic and evil. It was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. And God said, let there be light. I thought, oh, my goodness sake. Right here, I began to weep. And the light was good. I said, I know the light's good. And God separated the light from darkness. I've seen it. When I died, I saw the kingdom of darkness. I've seen the kingdom of light. And there's one passageway between them. Right here in Genesis 1, verses 2 and 3 into 4, I stopped and then tears poured out of my eyes as I realized that this was God's book right here. Didn't get past that. And then I saw God made the sun, moon, and the stars, but already he had separated good from evil, light from darkness. So I then started reading. Well, I couldn't put it down. My family thought I'd flip my lid because 24/7, day and night, all I was doing was reading. Reading. Dad said, "You want some money? You want the Commodore? Here, you can go down to the club. Here, do whatever. You can take as much money as you want. Go and get..." I said, no, I'm reading the Bible. Just bring the food in. I'll read the Bible, and then I'll come out, shower, and then go back into it. Within 6 weeks, I read the entire Bible. And I'm thinking to myself, that right there, I got it. Then my girlfriend came to me and said, "Ian, I'm a Christian. You told me you're reborn thing and you're reading the Bible. Will you come to church with me?" I said, "No." She said, "Why is that?" I said, "God's not in church. He's in the Bible. I've found him. I've been to church. God's not in the church. Been there and done that." She said, "Well, this is a different church." And I said, "Well, where is it?" She said, "Up on Victoria Street." I said, "What is it called?" "The AOG." I said, "What's that? Assemblies of God." I said, "Never heard of it." But anyhow, she said, "It used to be the old supermarket." I said, "Oh, you think I'm nuts? You're going to supermarket church. Okay, whatever. I'll come up, check it out. But if I don't like it, I'm coming back." So Malus and Ruth tried to edge me, push me out the door, and Karen has me about 5 feet behind her walking up into the car park. As I walk up into the car park, I see the light and the glory and the radiance that I'd seen on Jesus shining out of the church. I stop. She thinks I'm going to do a runner and go back down. And I'm thinking, what kind of church is this? She said, an Assemblies of God church. I said, I've never heard of that. But hey, I'm coming. My goodness sake. Wandered in. People, hands raised up. Men standing up there worshiping. One guy's face looked like Moses. shining radiance pouring out of his face. And I thought, well, I want to listen to that guy. And I had a demon next to me saying, don't listen to him. I said, shut up. Who invited you in here? That guy's speaking from the throne room of heaven. And so he began to speak. And as he began to speak, I began to suddenly realize he was talking about how Jesus was transfigured and how Moses' face started to shine. Can you imagine this kind of stuff? I'm seeing it on his countenance. I'm seeing, because I've been reading the Old Testament, and Moses had started to get into the glory cloud, and his countenance was full of light. I'd felt that when I died. I'd stood in that light. My whole being was full of light. And so I began to go. The preacher stood up and said, look, there's a lot of people here tonight. They're heavy burdened, they're laden down with sins and worries of the world. Come and find rest. Humble of heart, you'll find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Stand up. Come forward. I turned to my girlfriend. She was on her knees going, shakara. I thought, she's in pain. I don't know what she's doing. She's no real help. So I thought, I'm going to have to do something myself. And I stood up. I said, sit down, you idiot. But I stood up. And next minute, in front of 1,000 people, I began walking forward. And the preacher said, raise your hand towards these young men and women that are coming. And pray for the love of God. I had waves of liquid light hit me. And I began to feel the love of God hit me. As people, I don't think Christians have a clue what anointing and power you have in you. And I tell you what, you are to bless. Not to judge, not to curse, not going, who's that sicko coming up? You better have the heart of God. He loves sinners. He wants them to get saved. So I'm walking up there. I mean, I'm thinking, if these people knew me, I used to deal drugs in this area, they would be stoning me. They wouldn't be blessing me, mate. They'd be cursing me. They'd be chasing me out of town. So what happens? I realized I was coming to the foot of the cross, but the cross that I knew was empty. The person I met was alive. He had risen from the dead. The person I met was the Son of God, and I'd seen him in his glory. And this preacher I could see had met him too and was hearing him. And he had white shoes on. That was a good old Pente days. White shoes, white jacket, my dear Lord. Anyhow, he's going, I'm going to come down and pray for people. I'm thinking, God, keep the man away from me. I don't want him anywhere near me. God didn't listen to that. So the guy saw his white shoes in front of me. Next minute, he must have laid his hand upon me, and a whole realm of glory hit me. I was suddenly back in the heavenly realm. I was suddenly back in the light. I was suddenly back. Heaven was on earth. I was suddenly back in the presence of God. I was weeping and weeping uncontrollably. I started to fall, and some guy shoved his hand on my back to hold me up. Turned out it was a Messianic Jew that had got saved called Evan Thomas. And Evan took me out the back, and they do the Steps to Peace with God by Billy Graham. He opened that up, started reading that, said, son, you're a sinner. I said, yep. And you believe in God? I said, yeah, I've seen him. Well, that blew his three steps to peace with God thing. And he said, so have I. And I said, when did you see him? He said, when I was dealing cocaine. Jesus walked through the wall and told me I was doing wrong. So I tipped the cocaine down and flushed it. I said, well, I died and saw him. He said, well, so have I. And he said, where are you reading? I said, I'm reading in the Old Testament. He said, you got to the New Testament yet? I said, no, I'm reading from the front to the, from the, you know, beginning to the end. He said, well, you should jump ahead a little bit. I said, what? So he opened up. He said, John chapter 8. Verse 12. Where are we? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I said, I've seen that. Jesus is the light? He said, yes, Jesus is the light of the world. You need to get into the New Testament, Ian. You can parallel read, but get in the New Testament. Come along to my Bible study. Come along, son. And I thought, unbelievable. It's Jesus glorified that I saw. He's the light of the world. Those who come to him no longer walk in darkness. And I went, I've got it. God is in the heavens, interceding. He sent his Holy Spirit. I did Bible studies. He said, you need to be baptized. I said, well, I was christened. They said, no, you need to repent first, then get baptized. So I said, well, that's right. Let's get baptized. So I got baptized in water. Then I was on the farm, got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had a bunch of people laying hands on me and mumbling and yelling in my ear, trying to push me over. I said, no, just let God do this thing. And I got it. Spoke in tongues, completely changed. Saw healings and miracles take place. Now, the musicians are coming. That means I'm definitely done my deal. So I found that Christ is alive. I found that he lives in me. I met a lot of demonized people. Just put a chair and sit down on the main street and watch them walk past. There's a heap of them. But what does God want to do? Set them free. So why I say is bring the deeds of darkness into the light. Christians should be bringing it into the light. Don't hide it. Bring it into the light. Don't give the devil a foothold. Bring it into the light. If you got issues, if you got demonic stuff, bring it into the light. Get help. Call out. Two agree in prayer. Bind the flippant thing. Get it out of you. Repent of your sins. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse you and get this thing out. It might be deep-rooted, but let's go for it. Let's get the acts of the Spirit down there and get that thing out. Get some dunamis power like I preached the other day. Get the power of God inside there to set you free. Some of it might be inner healing. Some of it might be deliverance. Some of it might just be renewing of the mind. Some of it might be counseling. Might be just learning new habits. But whatever it is, body, soul, spirit, God wants to make you complete and entire. He wants to set you free. It's exciting stuff, man. The world lies in the power of the evil one, the whole world. But Jesus came to deliver us from that kingdom. And we can live in this kingdom of darkness and evil and filth like Sodom and Gomorrah. We can live in it and it won't come near me. I can walk in the light as he is in the light. What is it? Keep humble. Clothe yourself in the full armor of light. Put on, meditate upon Ephesians 6. Put on the full armor of God. I think it's garments of light, Psalm 102, verse 104, verse 2. God clothes himself in what? Garments, robes of light. What we need to do is put the light of God's presence inside us, upon us, and stay in the light. And his word is a light unto our feet, lamp unto our path. The entry of his word brings light. This is all truth. You need to devour this and get it so into you that you become a living epistle, that you know the word of God. The word of God has become part of you. It's tested, it's proven. You are literally a living epistle. And anyone can turn any pages in your life and go, check it out. And you can say, yeah, I'm not quite sure about that area. I'm still working on it, but thank God you're a Christian. You love me enough to give me some grace. Because if you look down on a man, you've already judged him. You have no idea what that man's been through. You have no idea what kind of abuse and evil has had to him. So don't you dare judge him. You have no idea the struggles and battles he's gone through. And you better have some compassion. You better have some mercy. Because God wept over the brokenness of mankind. Jesus wept and wanted to set them free and heal the broken hearts. And I tell you what, you're not lowering yourself. Jesus was a friend to sinners, and demon-possessed people loved him. They loved him because he could set them free. So my encouragement, come to Jesus. Allow him to break the chains. He has keys to unlock the cages you're in. He's got ability to set captives free. Isn't that great? How many happy that you're saved? And when we die, we go into a kingdom with no demons, no darkness, no evil. It's all dealt to. I can't wait. It's getting closer. Now we know it's getting closer. But maybe some of you are backslidden. Maybe some of you aren't saved. So I'm going to do an altar call. Over the last 38 years, every time I get a chance in a church to try and get someone saved. Every chance, man. So where are you? Are you demonized? Are you demon oppressed? Are you full of sin? What can happen tonight? You can come to the foot of Christ, to the cross, can't you? Say, God, forgive me. That's the key, isn't it? It's the blood of Jesus that breaks the power of sin. Nothing but the blood. And if you come today and say, God, forgive me of all my sins. I forgive others who have sinned against me. And I surrender my life to the Lordship of Christ. How many know some of us have done that a fair few times? Come on. How many know you can't? You don't need to stop doing that? You can do that the rest of your flipping life. Come on, how many Christians sin? None of you. Some of you are liars. You've got your hands folded. You're liars. You absolute liars. All have sinned. But we're talking to the ones who really have lost their way or haven't found Jesus tonight. There could be one or two people, it could be 10, I don't know. But let's just bow our heads and let's all pray together because we've all sinned and pray out loud these words, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you died for my sins, that you are the light of the world. the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, you died on that cross for me. And your precious blood can wash all my sins away. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of everything I've done wrong. And I forgive those who have sinned against me. Those who have abused me. Those who have used me. I forgive them in Jesus' name. And I surrender my whole life, all that I am, to you. Take this broken person. Take this sinful man and make something beautiful out of it. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Set me free. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Who saves you? Not the church, not me, not a preacher, not a pastor, not a priest. The person who saves you is from above. Seated in heaven. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And He has died for you. Shall we all stand? In 1982, this preacher invited people to come forward. And I thank God he got me up. People say that's old fashioned. You shouldn't bring people forward. Forget it. Save me. Help me. If you can't get over the fear of man in the church, you won't last 5 seconds out in the real world. And it says, those who deny me before man, I'll deny you before God. If you confess me before man, I'll confess you. What I'm going to do is invite you to come forward publicly. Say, you must be joking. I said, no, I'm not joking. It broke the fear of man. From that point in 1982, when I went to that altar, I've never been afraid of what people think. I'll be more concerned with what God thinks. So if that's you and you've prayed and said, Jesus, come into my life. I'm backslidden. I'm coming to God for the first time. I want you to get out and walk now. Come on. It only takes one person, some backslidden person, someone who's not saved. Come forward. Recommit their life to Jesus. Is there one person? Just one. Thank you, sir. I thank God my girlfriend got me to church, man. I tell you what, she was such a friend. She got me into the church on a Sunday night. I'd normally be stoned or wasted or sleeping with some chick. Bam, I got it. I actually got it. Anyone else want to come? You're a Christian, you're mucked up, you need to come. Anyone else? Okay, if your friend is up here, I want you to come and pray with them. If your mate's up here, if he's got a friend, this lady's got a friend, I want you to come up and pray with them. I don't care if there's two or three of you. You need a lot of friends, man. I thank God I had friends. My old friends dumped me because I became a Christian. But these Christian friends got around me and they became closer than a brother. They became closer to me than some of my best mates. Anyone else want to give their life to Jesus? Man, woman, or child? You're never too late. No, I said, oh, I've done this thousands of times. Who cares? Who cares? Okay, church, can you reach your right hand towards these folks and just bless them? Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you love them. We thank you that you died for them. And we pray for the light and the love of God to flood their spirit. We pray for the power of God. We pray the fire of God to hit them. We pray you'd baptize them in the Holy Spirit and fire, that they would experience what it is to truly be in the light. We pray that you'd break the chains of darkness. You'd begin to deliver them. You'd begin to fill them with the presence of God. Fill them with the light of heaven, that they would truly be sons and daughters of light, no longer turning back to evil, no longer compromising. We pray that you would literally begin to remove the footholds. You'd begin to set these captives free in Jesus' precious name. Is there anyone else here that's a Christian that feels that this word is spoken to you and you need to have some prayer? Maybe you need some things to be exposed or broken. Could you please come too now at this altar? Is there anyone here in the church that feels like there's some things that I've spoken to you that's run true, that's touched your heart? Thank you. Don't wait. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to try and judge you. We've all had different things happen. How many have had a few flipping things happen in your life, man? My God, I had a host of demons around me. I could hardly get through a day without messing up as a new Christian. There was stuff all over the place. I found stuff in my house I had to burn and destroy. There was stuff in that house that was attracting it, man. I had to pray over my house. I had to literally anoint all around the room. I had to have Christian men come and help me. Brothers and sisters, come and pray with me and help show me what was going on in the spirit realm. Now, if you've got someone up here that you know, any of the ministry team, or you've got a friend up here, I want you to come and stand with them. This young man and his girlfriend, this guy here, just lift your hands. Those that are coming, the Holy Spirit's spoken to you about something. Just lift your hand up and just say, Lord, you come. You come. I no longer want to be tormented by the darkness. I no longer want to have the spirits of darkness assail and attack me. I no longer want to be afraid of the night. I want to come into the light. I'm so frightened. I'm so terrorized. And I pray your fire, your anointing, would begin to hit them. And you deliver them, Lord, as you have done to me. You set me free. No longer tormented by evil. No longer attacked. No longer a victim. Let the fire of God begin to burn in them. Now come on, those who have been prayed for, lift your hands up. Let the power of God touch your hands. Let the anointing, anyone else need to come. Humility brings the deeds of darkness into the light. And allow the blood of Christ to cleanse. So Lord, we pray you would send your fire. You would send your anointing. And Lord, we ask right now, resurrection power. No more death. No more spirit of death. We ask for that same fire that burns. Jesus, your eyes are an all-consuming fire. And the demons hate the fire. They're terrified of it. And we release the fire of heaven. Fill her, Lord. Fill her with your presence. Fill her with your power. Does anyone else need prayer for healing, miracles, anything? Come on up. We were going to go the whole hog. Anything. If you need prayer, I don't care what it is, now's the time to come. And if you've got ministry team, home group leaders, elders, just begin to pray. For we've come for an encounter, not just a whole bunch of words. We need to encounter the risen Savior. Let resurrection power come into that which is dead. Let the chains be broken. Sickness and death go, Lord. Kiaria masikia.